Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Tes. We're starting the final perek in Mesechtes Yevamos. Zok the Mishnah, Ho Isha Shahalach Baala Vitzaras Lamdina Sayom. You had a gentleman who was married to two women. Oi, Tzaras. One of the women stayed back behind here in New York, and the husband went away on a trip together with the other wife to, let's say, London, Lamdina Sayom. So Isha Shalach Baala, her husband left, the Tzaras and the Tzara left, to Medina Siyam. Ubova Amrullah, and then subsequently they told her, Meiz Ba'alech, your husband passed away. And as Rashi points out, until that point, this husband had not had any children, either with wife number one, or with the Tzara, wife number two. And now they reported, unfortunately, the husband passed away. So under normal circumstances, since there are no children, unfortunately, then this young lady would fully yibum. Says the Mishnah, Loitin Asay, she should not go and marry outside. In other words, marry Lashuk, because after all, it at least appears to be a Zika liyibum. But Veloitis Yabim, she should also not be Miyabim. Meaning, if the brother that left together with the Tzara, not only left behind the other wife here in New York, but he also had a brother here in New York, a Yavam, she should not be Miyabim. Why shouldn't she be Miyabim? After all, she had a chazaka that she had a Zika Yibim, because unfortunately her husband had no children. What's the problem? Says the Mishnah, like this, Yavam agitate until she knows for sure, Shemu beres hitzerasa, the tzara that went together with the husband to London, maybe she became Mu'beres. And if she became Mu'beres, she may have a child in Yetz Hashem. And if she has that child, then there won't be a din of Yivam. And then, if in fact she married the Yavam prematurely, afterwards only to find out that her late husband left over a child, not only what she did was improper, but it's an Isser Erva, because she is marrying an Eishes Ach Shaloi, no, Eishes Ach Shaloi B'Mokah Mitzvah. She went and married the brother-in-law, the husband, the brother of her husband, and it was Shloim Makavit. You're not allowed to go and marry a brother-in-law, the brother of your husband, unless Chas V'Shalom, the husband passed away, and unless there are no children. Otherwise, it's one of the Arayis. So therefore, should be Pegir Be'erva, which would be a din of Kares Chas V'Shalom. So therefore, says the Mishnah, wait, find out what's the situation. Did she become Uberis or not? How long does she have to wait? We'll see Mechem in the Gemara whether she just has to wait 9 months or perhaps even forever. Mechem we'll see in the Gemara. Yes?
I thought we only had to wait 3 months.
Only have to wait 3 months if she is the only one that's in the picture. The reason for the 3 months, as you recall, is because maybe she became pregnant from her husband and then the husband passed away. If she remarries quickly within the 3 months, and she lives with another husband,
she won't know.
After that, 2 or 3 months later, she becomes, we see that she's visibly pregnant. We won't know whether she's pregnant from the first husband or from the second husband. That's what we say, you have to wait 3 months. Here we're not worried about that she's going to become pregnant, because after all, she's in New York, he's in London. It would be kind of difficult for her to become pregnant from her husband under those circumstances. But we are concerned that maybe the Tzara became pregnant. And if the Tzara became pregnant, then there's no din of Yibam, if in fact there will be a child at the end of the pregnancy period. So we got to wait until we know for sure whether or not Yom Uberes, Nishm Uberes.
One small point. If we said about there being children, if the Tzara or someone is pregnant, and the child doesn't survive. There was a pregnancy, mm-hmm. and then the child does a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. After the husband dies, leaving a pregnant wife, and there's a miscarriage.
Correct.
What's the status now of the almana?
The status of the almana is that she falls liyibam to the yavam.
Without a live viable child, she has a zika.
Thank you
for recapitulating.
No problem. Okay, so that's halacha number one. Halacha number two is hoysalo chamois. That's the famous Kala v'chamoisa. She had a mother-in-law. Again, you have the husband that traveled to London, And not only that, the Shviger went along. In other words, mother, together with her son, went to London. The Kala, the daughter-in-law, stayed here behind. And then after that, she finds out that her husband, Nebuch, passed away. Now, until now, there were no other brothers at this time, in this second case. And so therefore, she assumed that she doesn't fall Yibam. It could be that her husband had 12 sisters, but no brothers. And that being the case, if there are no brothers, then there's no din of Zika the Yibam. However, since the Chamoisa also traveled together with the husband, that is, with her husband, with the Chamoisa's son, and the presumption is the Chamoisa took along her own husband as well, oh, you know what? Maybe the Chamoisa became pregnant, and if she became pregnant, maybe she's going to have a son in 9 months from now, and that fellow, he could become a Yavam. And if he's going to be a Yavam, then I got to be Noivis. Now, we're not talking about that the Yavam was born after the husband passed away, because that would be a case of
Yachav.
Which is that the only time that the Torah says that it's a din of Yibam is Kieshvu Achem Yachtov Umeis Achem Mehen Uven Ein Loi. From that pasuk, we learn that the two Yavamim have to have at least overlapped by a minute. They don't have to overlap by 20 years, at least by a minute. That means that by the time the Yavam passed away, by the time the mess passed away, the Yavam was already born. But you know, it's not like today's day and age that you have emails and texts and WhatsApps and telephone calls. Person went away to London, you might not find out about their whereabouts or any news for months, maybe years, maybe ever. So therefore, you have again the young ladies over here, the wife, her husband went away to London, and also her chamoisa, her mother-in-law, presumably also the father-in-law, they all went away. After that, she hears that Nebuch, her husband, passed away. Her chamoisa is Baruch Hashem alive and kicking, that's fine. Right, Nebuch, her husband, passed away. And now the question is, for all those that have just joined, we're on Kuf Yud Tes Amid Aleph, fourth line from the top of the Amid. So she left the mother-in-law. Until this point, there were no other brothers. But since there's a mother-in-law that is, Baruch Hashem, alive and kicking, maybe she had a son in the interval. And as a result, now the wife that's left here behind cannot just go and remarry based on her hearing that her husband passed away. Maybe she fell to a Yavam. Says the Mishnah, we don't have to worry about that a Yavam was born. Why don't we have to worry? Because I didn't hear that she was pregnant. So why should I have to assume that a Yavam was born? The Gemara is going to ask, one second, a second ago you just said on the third line, I have to wait and hear whether or not the Tzara became pregnant. Maybe she became pregnant. Maybe it's going to be a child. Let's wait. Let's see. Don't go hastily and marry the Yavam. Maybe there happens to be a new child on the horizon. Here on line number four of the Mishnah, we say, oh, but if you're talking about the Chamoisa, ain't a cheshesh. You don't have to worry about that she had a child and there's a new Yavam. Why on line three am I worried about a potential Ibor and there being a child? Why on line four am I not worried about there being a child? The Gemara is going to ask that question shortly in Yetzishah. Finally, Yotza Maleya. What happens if the Chamoisa, when she traveled together with her son to London, she was Maleya. Maleya means that she was already visibly pregnant. People could see she is Maleya. Now, do I have to worry that she gave birth to a boy and therefore there's a din of Yibam? Dr. Tanakam, here, Vada Chisheshes. Till now, I didn't have to be choshish that she became pregnant, and she did have a yavam. But if she went, and we saw her when she traveled, that she was already pregnant, then I have to be concerned that maybe, in fact, the yavam was born. Don't hastily go and marry when you hear the report that the husband passed away. But if she doesn't have to go and worry. Now, why doesn't she have to worry? The Tanakam is right. So Rashi explains, very simply, we're going to see this in Yad Shem in the Gemara. There are always three possibilities by every pregnancy. Possibility number one is that the child is going to be a zachar. Possibility number two is the child is going to be a nekeva. Possibility number three is it won't be a viable child at all. Chas v'shalom, there'll be a nefel. The child never will be, it will be a miscarriage. Okay, so now, of these three possibilities, the possibility that it's going to be a zachar is now less than 50%. Why? Because if we didn't have the possibility of the nefel, then the derech klal statistically, 50% are girls and 50% are boys. So then Tanakam is right. Have to be chosheshes. At least a 50% chance that the if there's a new yavam in this world, she can't just go and be marry out the shuk. However, since there happens to be a percentage which are nefel, let's assume for argument's sake it was 2% happened to be nefel. So 98% are viable children. So now let's split the 98% down the middle. 49 is in the keva, 49% is a zachar. So the 49% zachar is already a miut. Says Rabbi Shua, I'm not choishish lemiuta, and therefore I don't have to worry that the chamoisa gave birth to a yavam. Even if she was malaya, because there's a possibility that the child was not a viable child in the first place. And number two, even if it was a viable child, maybe it's a nice little meidala and not a yingala, so there's no din of yibam at all. Yes, sir?
So let's say you're a corner of you, so you're not choshesh, but let's say it happened that she did give birth to
a yavam,
and before that the woman, you know,
got married.
Yes.
Okay, so then she was oiver and iser b'shoigig, and she'll have to bring her karm chatas.
But if she's gone by Rabbi Yoshua, why should she be culpable for...
So she's not culpable b'mezit, but she did a shogeg. In other words, she's a nice lady and a wonderful lady, but, you know...
But Rabbi Yoshua says that because of there's, even though it's the slimmest chance,
a minority chance that this is going to be a yavam.
Right, so
you don't have to be choshesh.
He's giving her the green light, basically, to go. So, isn't that like
if she,
not great advice? If there is still a significant probability that it will be a boy, meaning that. So, and then we're going to say, oh, she has to bring a korban, but she'll be like, well, I was doing what Rabbi Yoshua said, and, you know, so...
Let me change that. The korban, the Gemara said earlier, if you have, for instance, a woman that marries based on Eid Echad, and right. The Rabbanan said that, yes, since there's Eid Echad that said that the husband passed away, she's allowed to go and remarry. After that, she has to do her daiko mitzvah, meaning that she has to do all her due diligence. If after the due diligence, she found out that the husband is dead, and then she remarries, and then chas v'shalom, her husband does come back. Good news, fortunately he's alive, but for her it's unfortunate because in the meantime she has remarried. So if she has children, unfortunately they're mamzerim, etc. What about the status of the karm? We said back in the Mishnah, since it was the Rabbanan that said that she's allowed to go and get married, they did the chait and she didn't do the chait, and therefore she would not have to bring a carbon. So I withdraw what I said earlier. She probably would not have to bring a carbon. And ain't a chesheshes, but ultimately, if she did get married and if she had children, it's like that iguna case. The chacham tried to bend over backwards to allow a woman to remarry, if at all possible. But there are those negative ramifications if things go wrong, and therefore we hope they won't go wrong. Aunt. Yeah, okay.
You're in the
room.
Under any circumstances, you won't have a korban.
Ah, so you hear our good friend Rabbi Shai is correcting me a second time. Shkoyach, Rabbi Shai.
Not correcting, suggesting.
No, you're saying absolutely correct, and I stand corrected. What Brother Shai is telling us is what would be the possibility of an Isra over here? Isra would be that she would be a Vamal Shuk. Vamal Shuk is that instead of waiting and marrying her yavam, she went and married outside to the outside world. We have a pasuk, "Lisia eishes hameis hachutzel ishzar." That's an isalav. It's not an isakaris. A person who's even isalav does not bring a carbon. The only one that brings a carbon is a person that's even isakaris. It's only isalav. Shkoyach, Brother Shai. Thank you very much for correcting me. Good. So we have two solid reasons why you would not bring a carbon. She would be over an isalav bishogeg. That's it. What would they be able to go and continue to be married? The answer is no, because of the fact that it's an isalav. Would the children be mamzerim? No, unless you hold like Rabbi Akiva. The assumption is we don't hold like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore the children would have on them a shtickl pegam, but that's it. And then she would go and divorce this husband, and then either go back to the Yavam, or the Yavam would go and give her a chalitza, and then she could potentially even stay with this husband.
It's a little myth thing to me, how Rabbi Yeshua, at 49%, that's still a significant probability.
So we're going to go and talk about those probabilities, those statistics, and Yetzir Shem Nigmar. So we start again at the beginning of the Mishnah. We said, Aish Shalav Balam Tzrasam Dina Siyam. The husband went away together with the Tzara to London, for instance. They told that the husband passed away. She should not go and be Miyabim, even though until now her husband had no children. Don't be Miyabim until you find out whether or not the Tzara became Mu'uberes. If she's not Mu'uberes, nothing to worry about. Then she falls the Yibo. If the Tzara, however, is Mu'uberes, we have to see if it will be a viable child or not. The Lashon Mishnah, however, is a little bit peculiar in the sense that it says, Achateida, until she knows for sure, Shema Mu'uberes, he Tzarasa. Why didn't it say Shema Tzarasa Mu'uberes? What's the Shema Mu'uberes? Maybe Mu'uberes. Who's the Mu'uberes? He Tzarasa, the Tzara. That sounds like a strange usage of language. Shema Tzarasa Mu'uberes. Vekim Ma'i Tzarasa. Vekim Ma'aka Mashmalam. Laha Tzara, who the Chayshinan? Of the Tzara Chriti, Loi Chayshinan. What does that mean? When the husband left, at that time he only had two wives. The one that he left behind, and the one with whom he was traveling out to London. So we have to find out, did that Tzara become Mu'uberes, yes or no, before the time that the husband passed away. But the Gemara says, we have another possibility as well. And that is maybe the husband found another young lady, and he felt so bad for that young lady, Nebuch, she was a Saima walking around, she had no parents, and nobody was taking care of her, and therefore, as an act of charity and gemilas chesed, he went and married yet another young lady. And that, of course, is now a brand new tzara. And this young lady was over the age of 12, and after they got married, guess what? She might have become pregnant. So therefore, I have something else that I have to worry about. When the husband went away, even though he had no children at the time, he left behind here his wife, together with a potential Yavam. Why do we say don't do Yibam until we hear about the Tzara that traveled with the husband to London, whether she became Mu'uberes? Don't we also have to find out whether perhaps he went and married a third lady, and maybe she became Mu'uberes? Says our Mishnah, no, it's already a further remote type of situation. That you don't have to be choshed. That's why the Mishnah says, Shemu Beres, he tzaras, this tzara. But I don't have to worry about other tzaras. Enough tzaras in the world, I don't have to worry about yet another tzara. One second, let's just finish your thought. My he tzaras, a kamashal, the hard tzara, the chashin, the tzara, you don't have to worry about that he married a third lady and she became pregnant, etc. Yes, sir.
All right, so just another hypothetical. What if he had three wives and he went abroad with one wife and two wives stayed back?
Right.
So if in this case where he was told that, you know, he passed on,
yes,
would she also have to wait if the second wife that stayed back also was pregnant or not?
In other words, it was within 3 months, presumably. Because if the husband was away for a year or two, it would be difficult for the tzara that
right,
was behind.
Right, so meaning that there were two wives, one went on the road. So do those two wives that stayed back...
Any existing wives, we have to be concerned if they became pregnant from that husband.
Okay.
Obviously, they have to be within a close proximity for the possibility of that she became pregnant from the husband. If she's around over here and she becomes pregnant, and it becomes visibly pregnant 6 months later, and the husband hasn't been here for the last 6 months, then you have to be choishish for other issues, other tzaras, not the issues of our Mishnah. Good. Anyway, continuing on, right in the same case, Leitanase v'loy tisyabim. So what did we say? Again, we're still in the Reisha. The husband went away with one of the tzaras. The tzara, meaning the wife that remained behind over here, should not remarry, even if she hears her husband pass away. Neither should she marry the Shuk, nor should she go and marry to the Yavam. So to Abishlami Yavumi Loi, the reason why she shouldn't be Miss Yavim is like the Mishnah says, the Duma Me'ebra, the Kapaga Be'eshes Achti Araisa. Maybe the other Tzara is Tzachim Uberes, and if the other Tzachim Uberes, then she, the remaining wife over here, not only is there no Din of Yibam, there's an Isser to go and marry the other brother. That's the Isur Eishes Ach. That's one of the Arayos. Elatin Asay Amai. What's the problem? Why can't she go and remarry out Lishuk, even if she doesn't know for sure what happened with that tzara? Hey, lechacha Rav Noshim. Why don't we go after Rav Noshim? For Rav Noshim misabrois v'yoldois. As a general rule, most women, Baruch Hashem, are fertile. And if they live together with her husband, typically they become pregnant at some point, and typically they have a child. So therefore, why don't you assume that the tzara that went to London did in fact become mu'uberes, and did in fact become a young mami, or she's in the process of becoming a young mami, and therefore why can't the tzara who's left behind here in New York, why can't she go and marry out Lishuk? He says, Yimara limra mei, dichayish limiyuta. Are you going to tell me that the Mishnah is going according to Remeir, that is always concerned about miut? And since Remeir is concerned about miut, there is the possibility that the wife with whom the husband traveled away out to London did not become pregnant, even though Roiv women would become pregnant and have a child. But maybe she's one of those that didn't. That being the case, the husband, when he passed away, left no children, never Chachma Mitzvah, and therefore the wife that sat here behind, therefore would fall even. And therefore, since she falls even, we cannot allow her to go and marry out Lishuk, because of the fact that maybe she has a chiyav yibim on her. So that's pshat in the Mishnah. Tomorrow, no, you don't have to go and say that the Mishnah is only according to Meir. After the Tamer Rabbanan, you can go according to Rabbanan as well. He has an Rabbanan Basaruba. When did the Rabbanan say we're not choishish lemiut? We only go Basaroid. That's a Ruba de Isa Kaman. You go in Teisha Chanoyes, Sanhedrin. Abaruba de Lesa Kaman, Leazi Rabbanan Basaruba. After all, in roivs, you can have a roiv de isa kamat, which means that you see the roiv, you can feel the roiv, and then you have the statistical roiv that you know exists, but they're certainly not in front of us. What does that mean? The case of Teisha Chanoyis, that's a famous gemara. The gemara brings in a number of places, that what happens if you happen to have in one town 10 meat stores, or butcher stores, 9 of them, for instance, are selling Basar Shchuta, and one of them is selling Basar Nevela. And then after that, you go and find a piece of meat in front of these 10 stores, and the assumption is that they're all in the same marketplace. So you find a piece of meat on the floor. If you hold, you can go Basarayv, then I can go and assume that this meat is kosher. It probably came from one of the 9 kosher stores as opposed to the 10th one, which was a non-kosher store. We're not paskin halacha l'maisa over here, but that's the concept. If you have 9 that sell shchuta, 1 that sells nevela, you can assume that it's probably basar shchuta. Yes, I know, it could be that that one that sells basar nevela does more business than the other 9 combined. That's true. But we're not dealing with the details of that, we're just dealing with the concept of writing. And that's a roiv de isa kaman, because I see all the 10 stores there in front of me here. Same thing as Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin means anytime that you have a non-unanimous decision of the Bez Nagodol. For instance, if you have Chas Shalom, someone who's being nidoin lemisa because he was Mechal Shabbos, who was Oyved Avodah Zarah, well, you typically have to have a Bezin of 23. You had 12 that Baruch Hashem found him innocent, 11 that found him guilty. The halacha is you go Achri Rabam Lahatois, and the person goes free Baruch Hashem because there's a roif. Here too, the roiv is Issa Kaman. I have all 23 judges. 12 decided one way, 11 decided the other way. I go Basar Raif. A roiv Lesa Kaman is talking about roiv Noshim Ba'olam. There are on this world, assuming that there are 3 billion people, there are 1.5 billion women. Of the 1.5 billion women, so you're going to start telling me, well, roiv women of the 1.5 billion, when they get married, they're Miss Abrois and the Yoldois. But that's a roiv that's not here, that I can't go and measure or can't point to. That's just a statistical roiv that we know from our general knowledge and information. The question is, can you rely on that type of roiv as well? So our Gemara is trying to now make a chilik, a distinction between a ruba the isa kaman or a ruba the lesser kaman. A roiv that I can point to, or a roiv which I know from the books, I know statistically that that's the way things are or the ways should be. So says our Gemara, even the Rabbanim that say you go Basaruba, perhaps When do they say that? Only by Rubi Disa Kamon. Abrubi Dulesa Kamon. Li Azli Rabbanan Basaruba. But they are choishish even for the meal. And therefore, our case in the Mishnah, it doesn't have to be only according to Ramei that choishil miyuta. It can even go according to the Rabbanan. Says Gemara, no, I disagree with you. The real truth is that the Rabbanan hold even by a Ruba Dulesa Kamon, we also go Basaruba. How do I know? Varikanuktana, the chiyuva, the less, I'm sorry, the ruba, the lesser kamani, the azarabanan basar ruba. The famous case of the katnuktana, where the rabban go basar roiv. What's the case of katnuktana? The sayulim that arise, a katnuktana, the choltibulay miyamin, divirim meyer. What happens if you have a person who passed away, leaving over a katana, or even if he leaves over a gdoila, the person who passed away left over a brother, a yavam, who is a katan, can they perform either yibum or chalitza? Says Remeir, no. You have to wait until she becomes a gdoila and or that he becomes a gadol. What's the reason for that? We'll see Miat Shem in another three or four lines, because Remeir is choshish lemyuta. And therefore he says, maybe this katan is a soris. Soros means that unfortunately eunuch. He cannot, sorry?
A eunuch.
A person that cannot go and produce children. And similarly, maybe she is an islandess. Now normally a soros or an islandess, you'll be able to tell from the simanim, like we've had earlier on in our Masechta, that for instance, he doesn't have normally facial growth. Since he's a soros, he doesn't have a beard. And an islandess, she also doesn't get the typical feminine features that you would expect a young woman to have when she matures. But you don't know that if the girl and the boy are only 6 and 7 years old, respectively. They're still young kids. Now, what's the likelihood that a young boy is going to be a soros and a young girl is going to turn out to be an islandess? It's a very small percentage. But there is that possibility. The mayor is choishish lemiyuta. Therefore, the mayor says, don't allow a katnuktana to go and perform yima chalitza. Wait it out until they become older. We'll be able to ascertain whether he or she is a soros or an islandess, respectively. Azei zok Remei. Homruloi l'Remei. So Remei, the Chachomim responds to Remei. You referred to both Yibam and Chalitza. Yofa Mardesh ein Chotzin. That we agree with, that a katan uktana cannot do Chalitza. Why not? Ish ksim abarish. It says before the word ish in the Torah. Em lo yach boi tzu ish l'kaches es yevim toy. If the Yavam doesn't want to go and marry the Yavama, and then the Olsa, the Yavama goes, Elas Kenim, the Onsa, the Amra, Me'en Yavam, Elakim, Lachar, Shem, Yisrael, the Ova Yavim. So the Torah uses the expression, Ish, Im Le'yach, Wait, so Ish, Lekachas, Es Yavim, Toi. Ish, by definition, means it's got to be already a man, meaning over Bar Mitzvah. It doesn't use the term Isha, but it does use the term Yavim, Toi. So therefore, Kuntis Man, the Amar, Umakshin, and Isha, the Ish, Yavim, Toi, together with Ish, just like he's got to be a bar mitzvah, she's got to be a bas mitzvah. That I understand, I agree with you. Kot nikana lo yachlit. Avamata me miyam, what's the problem with yibam? Amalahem, like we said before, kot shem yimotse, soris, kitane shem yimotse, islandess, v'nimtzu poigim be'erva. If it's a soris or an islandess, not only is there no mitzvah of yibam, but chas v'sholem, since it's marrying an ishus ach shaloi b'mokim mitzvah, that's poigim be'erva, that would be an isakores. Says the Gemara. Zok Remei, and that's why I am nervous. Rabbanim Sabri's little basar ruba, we go after Roiv. Diktanim, ruba diktanim, Veroiv tanim lav tsrisin ninu. Zil basar roiv ktanois, Veroiv ktanois lav ionis ninu. We go basar the Roiv. Statistically, we know that virtually, or I would say virtually all, but 95%, 98% of all tanim will eventually be able to, Baruch Hashem, mature and be able to go and father children. And the same thing applies to young ladies. What's the likelihood they're going to be an islandess? Very, very small possibility. And therefore, Remeir is choishish lemiyuta, and they're not choishish lemiyuta. They say we go basar roiv. Hey, but this is a roiv de lesser, come on. I don't have over here in this room all the ketanim and all the ketanis from the whole world. Otherwise, this room couldn't possibly hold millions and millions of children. So therefore, what do I have to go and say? That even by a ruba, the lesser kamon, the chachom say basar roiv. That being the case, of Tigma, you're right. El machvar to masnis and remeir, he must be that the first case of the Mishnah, taka remeir, he's the one that's chayshin biyuta, but not according to the rabbi. Let's continue on in the Mishnah. It's the kasha that we asked when we learned the Mishnah, that the Reisha says, I am concerned that perhaps this Yivoma, this Tzara, I should say, that this Tzara is Mu'ubaris. And therefore, the wife that remains back behind over here, let's wait and see what happened. The next case of word by the Chamois is said, I'm not worried about that. Maybe she became pregnant and she gave birth to a Yavam. Then I'm not worried. So Frey Timora, Eim Asef. Ois Lechomois, Eim Acheshashas. Frey Timora, Amai, Heilech Acha Roiv Noshim, Roiv Noshim, Mis Abrois, V'yoldois. Like the Gemara started off at the outset of this shtickle, right? When we suddenly Tinosim Letisyam, the Gemara said, Ishlam Yivam Miloi, the Domini Abram Bekala. Same thing over here. Why do you assume automatically that the Chamoisa didn't have a child? If you didn't hear anything, I don't have to worry. Why shouldn't you have to worry? Presumably the Chamoisa also became Mubaris, and she's going to have a child, and that child might be a Zohar, and therefore don't you have to wait? So why does the Mishnah say, I'll tell you why. Because a small percentage of women don't have a viable child. Never the child passes away. And therefore, the woman miscarries. That's a meal. And all those that do have a viable child, mechtes charum, mechtes in the cavis. It's 50-50. Smoich miuta de mapilos le mechtsa nekevois. Havelis chorem miuta. Because of the fact that, as we said before, just taking a round number, 2% chasa sholem on mapil, we're left now with 98% of the 98. Split it, and you have 49 and 49. So the likelihood of a zachar is the miut. It's not the rhyme, it's the miut. Zot Gemara, but you just told me now that the Mishnah goes according to Rameyah. Rameyah is chayish le miuta. And here you're talking about a 49% chance. We're not talking about a cotton of tana soris for islanders, which is a very small percentage. Here we're talking about, like Ari was making an emphatic point earlier, that this is a very strong percentage, 48-49%. Even if you say in the good old days that the medicine wasn't like today, and so maybe chas v'shalom 10% were mapel. Okay, so 90%, it's 45%. But it's still a very, very large biut, as opposed to the case of the Soros Islanders, which is probably only 2% or 5%, or whatever the percentage is. So Ibazoif is going contra Meir. Leichish, let's worry about the Chamois had another child, and therefore she should not be able to remarry or marry Leshuk until we know for sure, did she have a Yavam, did she not have a Yavam? Everything, Mark. Dilma Kimen di Chazka Leshuk Loichayish. I'll tell you the reason is, because she had a Chazaka Leshuk. What means she had a chazaka l'shuk? In the Sefer of the Mishnah, since when her husband went away, there was no other yavam at all, and therefore she was a muhzekes that she falls l'shuk, meaning that if and when her chas v'shalom, her husband were to pass away, she would not have a din of yibam, but she would rather, or not rather, but she would go and instead marry l'shuk. So l'chayish, I don't have to worry about this. In other words, even according to a mayor that's choshish l'miyuta, but there's a chazak over here. The chazaka tells us that she does not fall liyibam, but she can mutaris l'shuk. So even though the mayor is chosh l'miyut, maybe the miyut doesn't override the chazaka. Aha. So Timura, reisha the ichsik liyibam tiyabe. So now if you're telling me that we're going basa chazaka and we're ignoring the miyut, so let's go back to the first case in the Mishnah. What was the first case in the Mishnah? First case in the Mishnah was that the husband did not have children. Since she didn't have children, the chazaka was that she does fall libam. And now you're saying, yeah, but maybe the tzara gave birth, shemu beres, and she had a child, and therefore don't go and do yibam, because of the fact that maybe there was a child. Yeah, but what was the chazaka? The chazaka was that she falls libam. So if she falls libam, ignore the miyat and go and say, she should be able to miyavim. Yeah, but maybe she had a child. Yeah, but that's a miut. And therefore, Remei is chosh l'miuta. Yeah, but didn't you just say that you go basa chazaka? So make up your mind what's the nafka mina, what's the distinction between the reisha of the Mishnah and the seifa of the Mishnah? When the seifa of the Mishnah, we said that don't allow her to go and marry Lashuk, even though she had a chazak until now, that there were no children, and therefore she was a chazak of Mutaris Lashuk. Now, let's worry about, maybe the husband, the Tzara became pregnant, and therefore, I'm Choshel Muta. Therefore, don't go marry the Shuk, let's hear what happens. In the same, I'm not worried about that maybe the Chamois had a baby boy. Why not? I'm Choshel Muta. There's a Chazaka. Here, there's also Chazaka. Everything more, Omer Nachman, Omer Abarabua, Reishu, the Issachar is Choshesh. Say, there's a Lav Loi Choshesh. Let's go and examine each case. The first case in the Mishnah is talking about a potential of an Issacharis. What's the potential of Issacharis? Since until now, the husband did not have any children, so therefore there was a chazaka that she falls. She's therefore going to go when she hears that the husband passed away, she will be Nisyabin through the surviving brother. If afterwards it turns out that the husband impregnated the Tzara, so that subsequently, after the husband passed away, there was a new baby that was born on the horizon. What did she do in the interim? She went and married and lived with the Yavam. You're not allowed to marry an Eishes Achatz and Eishes Ach Shaloi Ben Mokim Mitzvah. There's a child over here. So therefore, wait. Loi Tisyavim. Don't become Nisyavim to the... Well, but there was a Chazaka. Everybody assumed that if the husband passes away, she's going to go and be Nisyavim. You're right. There's Taka Chazaka. But I have to be choishish because we're talking about an Isser Kareis. Because if it turns out that the husband did have a child after all with that other Tzara, then she's not allowed to go marry the Yavam. And if she marries the Yavam, she is Pegea in the Isser Erva of an Eishes Achatz. So I gotta be Machmir, I have to be choishish. Mash Enkin in the Sefer, what do we...
Can I ask a question?
You just finish the thought, and then we ask the question. Yeah. The Sefer, however, is talking about that she had a chamoisa. The chamoisa may or may not have had a child. So you're going to say, well, let's be choishish, and maybe she had a child, and the child was a yingala, and therefore she falls the yibam. Worst comes to worst, if ain't chasheshes, if she doesn't worry about that. And she marries Lashuk. And then afterwards it turns out that she is, in fact, she had a zika to a yavam. So, like Brother Shai said earlier, and like we explained in the Mishnah, it's an Isalav, Laisiya Aisha the Mesa Chutz Lishar. She was talking over an Isalav, but because that Isalav, I'm not Choishish, I allowed her to go and marry. Yes, sir?
Isn't there a deception in all this that the husband's been away for a fairly long period of time?
Because the husband and the wife are?
The husband, the wife, the mother-in-law, if she also goes along, if they've been away for months.
They have to be an extended period of time.
Because otherwise there's no way that a child could be born in the interim.
The Gabi Ayovam, you're right. In other words, at the second case of the Mishnah has to be at least 9 or 10 months.
Right.
However, theoretically, the Tzara, the Chamoisa, might have been pregnant, but it wasn't visible. The Lashon of the Mishnah was Yotza Malaya. Malaya means that we know that she's pregnant. The case of the earlier part of the Seif Ahisa L'chamois, theoretically she could have been already 2 months pregnant, and then 5 months later she might have had a Zibula. She might have had a child who was 7 months. You're right, it would have to be at least... I have no question about it. But in the case of the Reisha, you don't have to have, it could even have been that they only went away for a week, and then the husband passed away. During that period of time, she may have become pregnant. She won't be visibly pregnant for perhaps 3 months. She's going to have a child 9 months later. Once, if and when that happens, then when the husband passed away, he already had zera. He didn't have a child yet. The Torah doesn't require zera. The Torah requires a bet. Therefore, our Gemara is telling us is that as long as she is pregnant, we have to go and, or at least the possibility of pregnancy.
There had to be some overlap in time between...
Overlap is going to be a yovan. There doesn't have to be an overlap, there can be a child. In other words, even though the husband passes away, and only 9 months later a child is born to his wife, that already takes away that there is no Zika, there's no din of Yibam, no din of Chalitza.
That's only in the case of the mother-in-law.
Only the case of the mother-in-law where the Yavam has to overlap with the Mes. That's why in the Reisha we said, don't get married, the Sefer says, Eina Chesheshes. Omer Rava, Rava is not happy with this pshat. He says, Mechti, Hodiyarais, Vodiyarais, Mal Yisakaris, Mal Yisalav. We all know the famous rule, Safik Diyaraisa Lahachmir, Safik Dirabanan Lahokel. We don't make distinctions in Diyaraisa between a Karis or a Lav. If you have a Safik Diyaraisa, you have to go to Chumrah. So why in the Sefer would it say, Ain't a chashash. Okay, so it's a lot. Fine. Abzis and deraisa. That should be enough that we should be chashash. Ella Marava says Rav Ati being different pshat. Reisha is chazaka liyibam, veruba lishuk, mechazaka loyodif ki ruba. The aisa miyuta de mapilois. Smoich lechazaka. Havle palgu palga. Loytinosav loytis yavim. Seifa is chazaka lishuk, veruba lishuk. Vahavle ischar miyuta. And therefore, it's not only a miyut, it's considered to be a miyuta de miyuta. Miyuta miyuta lechayish rameh. What is the Gemara saying? What the Gemara is saying is, yes, the whole mish is going contra meh. And rameh is taka choshel miyuta. But we also have to deal with the chazaka aspect, which we already started speaking about on the Amud Aleph. So therefore, so the Gemara. Reish is chazaka liyibam. When the husband, together with the tzara, went to Medina Sayyam to London, at that point, they didn't have any children. He didn't have a child with the wife remaining behind, nor with the tzara that left together with him. Now, is it possible that he had a child with her? In other words, is it possible she came pregnant? Of course there's such a possibility. But the chazok until now was the yibam, that if and when the husband passes away, that the tzara there and the tzara over here would fall liyibam, because the husband didn't have children. Now, veruba lishuk, the roiv tells us that no, she doesn't fall liyibam, that the wife remaining back here will fall lishuk. Why does the roiv tell us she falls lishuk? Because we said on the Amud Aleph, the roiv noshim misabrois the yoldois. In all likelihood, the tzara that went, the Medina Sayyam, probably lived with the husband, probably became pregnant, probably will have a child. So therefore, al pi roiv, the statistical probability is that there probably will be a child in Yetzer Shem, and therefore the wife remaining back behind over here will eventually fall the shuk, not have a din of yibam because her husband left over a child. The chazaka le'odav kiruba, which of the two is stronger in terms of rules of jurisprudence? We have a chazaka, we have a roiv, we go baser roiv. Ah, since we go baser roiv, what should be the din? She should be able to go marry out Lishuk. The ayis miuta de mapilois, however, since we're talking about Rameir, and we're choishish lemiut, there is a miut of ladies that are mapil. Smoich lechazaka, go and take that miut of mapilois, throw it and add it to the other side of the equation. One side of the equation is the chazaka side, liyibam. One side of the equation, the other side, is the roiv lishuk. Now I have the miut. Where do I put the miut? I'm not going to put the miut on the roiv side. The miut, by definition, is on the other side. So therefore, it's going to go together with the chazaka. So the chazaka together with the miut and the roiv on the other side, now they're going to equal the balance of the scales. Bavli palgu palga. Therefore, leitinosev leitisiyabeng. Chazaka would militate, go and be miyabim. Roiv would militate, go and marry the shuk. But I have this miut which is hanging out over there, where a mayor said, oh, she's a miut. So you add that miut to the other side, to the chazaka side. So that strengthens the chazaka side. So it's now equal 50-50 with roiv. Therefore, don't get married. Don't be misyam. Safe on the other hand, chazaka was a shuk. Why? Because until now there was no yavam on the scene. He was the only boy in the family. So the chazaka was that if and when he passes away, then there won't be a din of yibam because there is no yavam for her to be misyam. So she called marry the shuk. That's the chazaka. Ruba is also the shuk. Why is ruba the shuk? Because roiv noshim is abris v'yoldois, and so therefore I can go and assume that there will be a child. Yeah, but if there'll be a child, then she's going to go and fall liyibam. Yeah, for ruba the shuk. Why is ruba the shuk? Because v'hav lischorim bi'uta. What the Gemara means to say is because even if the chamoisa has a child, what is that child going to be? The child may be a zocher, may be a nekeva. If it's going to be a nekeva, there's not going to be a din of yibam. So you can say, oh, 50-50. Yeah, but there's also the percentage of potential nefalim, that chas v'shalom, she's going to miscarry. So if you start off with 100%, let's say 2% miscarriages, we're left now with 49 and 49. So what's the likelihood that there's going to be a boy, a new yavam on the scene? It's a miut. So the roiv is lishuk. If I attach the 2% nefalim to the 49% nekevos, then the roiv is that this young lady will not fall yibam because it won't be a yavam. And therefore the zchorim likelihood is a miut. Now, it's true the miuta is a substantial miut. It's a 49% miut. However, the Gemara calls this a miuta de miuta. Why? Not because physically it's a muted muter, but halachically it's a muted muter. Why? Because I started off with a chazaka lishuk, and I have a ruba lishuk. So both the chazaka and the roiv are on the same side of the equation. The only one that I have on the other side of the equation, that she falls liyibam, is the possibility that maybe the chamoisa will have a yavam, that's a miut, and that miut is working against both the chazaka, that until now there was no yavam, and against the roiv, that presumably even if she became pregnant and had a child, it would also not be a yavam, it would be a nekeva, or it would be a neifa. So therefore the remaining possibility of a zachar is considered to be like a miuta de miuta, even though statistically it's a large miut. But halachically, the Gemara deems that to be a small miut. A miut to miut lechayisha meirame. It says, I'm chayisha for a big miut, but not for a small miut. The reason why this is called a small miut is because I have both the chazaka and the roiv working against this miut. That's the difference between the reisha and the seifa. But now, continuing on to the Mishnah, it says, like,
so we're saying the Mishnah is Rameir?
The whole Mishnah, from beginning to the end, is Rameir. Until we get to Mishu at the end.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? Zot Gemara Baita. So we said in the Mishnah, Loi Tinase V'Loi Tisyam. That's what we said in the Reisha, that Meis Balech, she should not go and marry out Lishuk, and she should not marry the Yovam back behind over him. Why? Because maybe, the Tzara became pregnant and she had a child, or she will have a child, so you gotta wait it out. So the question is, how long do you have to wait? Pray tomorrow, Uli Oilam. Do we say that this young lady has to wait forever and ever? After all, they didn't get regular mail or emails or texts or telephone calls or what have you, WhatsApps. So, Bazai, how would they know? Maybe you have to wait for the next 20 years, 50 years. How will we know whether that Tzara ever had a child? It's Omer Ziri, Li'atzma Shloisha Chadashim. This is what Daniel was bringing up at the outset of this year, that any time that you're worried about that this young lady may or may not have become pregnant, you only have to go and wait a 3 month period. Why? Because after 3 months, we'll know for sure. Is she pregnant or not pregnant? That's why any time a marriage ends, either because Chas V'Shalom, the husband passes away, or when he gives her a get, you always got to wait 3 months. Why? Because you want to be able to be Mavchin Bein Zera of the Rishon, or the Zera of the Achron, to make sure the child that's born, if and when she's pregnant, is a child, is it from the first husband or from the second husband? Very good. So the answer is Shloisha Chadashim. Rashi points out that this would even apply in our case, meaning that even if the husband went away to Medina Sayyam and he passed away en route, for instance, she can't go and say, well, the husband's not here, I didn't live with him, or let's say he's already 3 months there in London, and she says, well, I haven't lived with him for a long time, I'm here in New York and he's in London. She always got to wait 3 months. That's the standard rule. Rashi says the reason why there's a standard rule is because it's an across-the-board loy plug rule. And even if, for instance, the wife that's left behind is already 95 years old, where the likelihood of her getting pregnant is extremely remote, makes no difference. She has got to wait 3 months anytime after the patira of her husband, because, yeah, it's unlikely she's going to become pregnant, but that's a light plug, yes, across the board.
So she has to wait 3 months and then she's she has to wait 3 months and verify that the other woman...
That's the next case. That's Lechaberta. We're just talking about her. In other words, what happens if you just have no tsaris, only one wife? Husband went away to Medina Sayyam, London. We find out 3 months later, Nebuchadnezzar passed away. And this wife that she's had behind is now sitting Shiva, and she said Shloishim, she wants to remarry. She's still got to wait 3 months from the date of the patira of her husband. She hasn't been with her husband for the last 3 months. She has been with her husband for the last 6 months, for the last year. There's a standard rule, you always have to wait 3 months.
In case that abroad he decided to marry or something?
Makes no difference.
No, in case he pregnant her before he left.
Mm-hmm. But even if it's already beyond that, let's make it easy. He traveled away a year ago. He had no other wives, no other paramours, nobody. He didn't remarry Gunish. Unfortunately, we heard that he passed away. The surviving wife is here. She sits Shiva. She waits Shloishim. Can she remarry yet? The answer is she's got to wait 3 months from the date of the patira of her husband. Even though her husband left a year ago. She didn't live with him. She didn't become pregnant in the last year. Nevertheless, she's got to wait 3 months. Why? That's a standard rule that applies. You always got to wait 3 months.
Blanket rule.
Blanket rule. See, if you look at Rashi, the Atzmish Loisha. Rashi is a parallel to our Gemara. Atzmish Loisha. Bishvul Atzma Tamtin Shloisha Chadosh. For herself, she's got to wait 3 months. The Chol Hanoshim, all women, Tzrichas Lahamtin Gimel Chadoshim. But Philip Baal Meisim Dina Siyam, even though the Baal passed away, far away. The Lekel Meicha Shemu Uberesi. You don't have to worry if it's a year after he left that she's Muberes. The Hozekena, a lady that's old, 85 years old, 95 years old. The Islandess, a lady that is a confirmed islandess that she can't have children. Nami Tzrichas Lahamtin Shloisha. They also have to wait 3 months. Can it be in Machoilis like we had earlier on? Aloha Kulan Tzrich Lahamtin. You always got to wait 3 months, even though there's no possibility that she is pregnant from her husband. Always got to wait 3 months. So that's for herself. But continue on anymore. What about Lechaberta? The case of our Mishnah, where the husband went away together with another wife, together with the Tzara. Now you got to wait, Tisha. You got to wait 9 months. Why do you got 9 months? Because we have to see what happens. Is she going to have a child and not going to have a child? If she has a child, then the woman here, as well as she, they're turais meyibim. On the other hand, if it turns out that she doesn't have a child, either because it's an eifel, for instance, or she didn't get pregnant, so then the halacha is, then they would have a din of yibum. So you got to wait 9 months to be in the safe side. Freitimah, I don't understand. Chelatz is memanav shach. Why? I'm sorry. Period. Semicolon. And then afterwards, and she can do a chalitza at that point. In other words, what Zairi says is this waiting period of our Mishnah is not indefinite. You only have to wait 9 months from after the time that the husband passed away. You heard the husband passed away in January. You got to wait 9 months until September, October, until 9 months end. And then at that point, I don't have to hear what happened. All I have to do is go over to the Yavam and say, Yavam, do chalitza. Why should Yavam do chalitza? Because mamanafshach. If it turns out that the other young lady did not become pregnant and did not have a child, and therefore I fall a Yavam, fine. So that's why I go to the Yavam and have chalitza. Yeah, but isn't there a possibility that maybe the husband did become, maybe the husband did impregnate that tzara, and maybe she did become pregnant, then maybe she did have a child. I don't know. So to be on the safe side, do chalitza. Once you do chalitza, then you don't have an issue, then you're free. So the Chari Zairi's idea or solution is an excellent solution. Do chalitza manavshach after 9 months. Reb Chanina Amar, I agree with you on the first point. La'atzma shloisha. L'chaverta, however, is li'oilam. As far as the Torah, you have to find out yes or no. Did she become pregnant? Did she not become pregnant? Did she have a child? Did she not have a child? And if you don't know, this young lady back here in New York will be in limbo forever. Afraid tomorrow. But why? Zairi's Eitz is a wonderful Eitz. V'tachlitz v'manavshach. Go and have chalitza either way to be on the safe side. If it turns out that the Tzara never became pregnant, and so therefore this young lady falls liyibam, fine. So instead of yibam, she had chalitza. Chalitza is a perfect option. According to Abishol, it's the preferable option. Have chalitza. Maybe the other Tzara did have a child, fine. So there was no din of zika, no din of yibam chalitza. We did chalitza to be on the safe side. We were machmir. So that's an excellent Tzara. Why does Rechab Benina say, lechaber to liyadam? Abaye bar Oven, Reb Chanina bar Oven. Apparently brothers. Amri Tavayu. They both said, Gezeir Hashem Yehei Vlad Ben Kayom Avinim Tzata Matzricha Kruz Likahuna. Says, I'll tell you why it's also the Oilam. Because maybe, you know what's going to happen. There was a Vlad after all. And since a Chalitza was performed, people will assume that this was an authentic, bona fide Chalitza. And now, if and when she wants to go and marry a kohen, people say she's not allowed to marry a kohen. A chalutza is the chos of a kohen.
Is better she marries nobody then?
Excuse me, just please wait a moment. Venim to atzamatzricha kruz v'kohuna. So tomorrow, okay? No, v'litzricha. And let us go, me machruz kruz. So, fine. If and when a baby is born, we're going to put a big signs all over it. We'll put advertisements in all the newspapers. We'll have people going around with bullhorns saying, Mrs. Yankel Smith, Good news, Baruch Hashem Rabbeisai, she's not a chalutza after all. If she's still available, any kahanim can stand online and go and marry this tzidkanis, this wonderful young lady who's such a mole with all the malice that you would want in a wife. So Zimar, okay, no, let's rechaz, so make such a Christmas, fine. Maybe someone was there at the chalitza, was not at the achraza. Afterwards, he sees that this chalutza went and married a kohen. Oy, they're going to go and say, look what happened, a chalutza married a kohen. And the rabbis permitted it, and the Masad Kedushin was the chief rabbi of Kishkin Halach, who everybody knew was a poisek hadara, zakin, muflik, and they knew everything. And he laughed, oh, so I see from this, a chalutza is going to go and marry a kohen. Because of this potential kilkul, says Rab Chanina, she should not get married until we know for sure what happened. If we don't know for sure, she is stuck with oilim. Barry raises a very, very good issue, which I'm not sure that we can address. What are you telling me? Because of the possibility she might go and marry a kohen, and then people say chalutza and all that. Because of that potential possibility, we're going to go and say that she happens to be also the oilim. After all, make an announcement that no kahanim should go and marry her. She should not entertain any offers from kohen. So we won't have this problem of people saying chalutz of the kohen. You don't have to have a cruise and you don't have to do this. She shouldn't marry any kahanim and finish. That would be a good eitzah for her, because even if it turns out that she was not a chalutz and people think you're chalutz, she marries Yisrael, none of this applies. Gemara, however, doesn't address this. I didn't see that the Mefarshim address it. So apparently the Chachamim were concerned that since there is that possibility, she's going to go and marry a chalutza. And after all, we're chayshin lemiyutu, we're holding like Reb Meir, if she's going to go and marry a kohen. And then after that, people are going to say, how could you let her marry a kohen? This is a chalutza. The Chum had to go and reinforce the halach. After all, chalutza is not a diraisa. It's a dirabana. So sometimes the Chachamim, they had to be machzik devrayim yoisim mishal toira, that people shouldn't go and think, ah, chalutza is ah, drabanan is kunish mekunish. Therefore, they said that she cannot marry the other. So he comes to us.
Do we follow Rav Meir?
I'm sorry?
Rabbi Allah, we follow Rav Meir? Is that young? Is that young?
Our Mishnah is going with Rav Meir. As we said before, the Reish and the Sefer.
We are only speaking about how our Mishnah is addressing.
Our Mishnah is exactly. The point that our Mishnah is.
Not the practicality of the.
Halacha l'maisa, we have to look in Shulchan Aruch. Whether this Rab Chanina, L'atz, L'chaberetz, L'oilam, Chveslish. The bottom line is, according to our Mishnah, is Rav Meir, and Rav Meir is Choshev L'miyuta. But even without the Meir, I'm just throwing that in as kind of liyasa se'ez. Even without the Meir, the Chacham were so concerned that there's this possibility of this young lady marrying a Kohen. Why? Because ultimately they'll find out she'll do a Chalitza now, she's not getting married, she's waiting until she finds an appropriate husband. And then after that, it's going to come out that there was a Vlad ben Kayom, and the whole chalitza was nothing. It wasn't a true chalitza; it was only a chumra chalitza. But there was no need for a chalitza because of the Vlad ben Kayom. If she afterwards goes and marries a kohen, that will cause all types of problems. And in the future, people will say that a chalutz is allowed to marry a kohen. So, to not to have to deal with that issue, they just said across the board, she's awesome. As I come. Okay, I think everybody's muted themselves now. I think we're fine now. Zok the Mishnah Baita. Zok the Mor Baita. Tanan. Now we're going to quote from the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. Push take on the Mishnah, Nitali Ben Bendina Sayam. What happens if the lady comes and said that I had a Ben Bendina Sayam? In other words, she went with her husband Bendina Sayam, and everybody had assumed that there was no child, and therefore, if and when the husband were to pass away, she'd have a din of Zika of falling the Yim or the Chalitz. However, she comes back and she says, Rabbeisai, I have good news and bad news. The good news is that Baruch Hashem, I had a ben b'mdina siyam. Oh, mazel tov, so happy for you. She says, however, not only did my husband pass away, but Nebuch, my son, also passed away. Both my son and my husband. Son first, husband second. So at the time that the husband passed away, there was no ben, uben ein loy. Therefore, she falls the yibam. So her chazaka before leaving the Medina Siyam was that she falls the Yibam because she didn't have a child. Now, even though she said, I had a ben, and therefore there is no din of Yibam, but it's a pesha osa pesha itzer. The same lady that said she had a ben, therefore I no longer fall the Yibam, says, oh, and by the way, the Ben passed away before my husband. So weiter I vor liebem. So by her statement, she hasn't changed her initial status of being a lady that falls liebem. So no matter, she's believed. However, what happens if she wants to change her status? She wants to go and change her chazak. Again, when she left, the assumption was that there were no children, and therefore that if or when her husband passes away, she's going to fall liebem. So now she says, Meiz bali viachach bini. I had a child in Medina Sayyam. My husband passed away. And not only that, but the Ben, the child that we had, also never passed away. And therefore I do not fall liyibam. So initially she had a chazaka that she falls liyibam. And now he said that she's trying to change her chazaka by saying, I don't fall liyibam because I had a child who passed away. In the matter, she's not believed to go and change her chazaka. However, nevertheless, for Choshim Devara, we still are concerned that maybe there is some emes in what she said, and therefore maybe in fact she did have a child, and if she did have a child and the child passed away after the baal, she doesn't fully yibam. So don't allow the yavim to yavim her, but don't let her go the shuk. Chaletz and lemis and bemes. To be on the safe side, let's do a chalitza, don't do a yibam. Okay, that's what we learned yesterday. Makes sense. Frey Timura, why do you say it makes sense? For leichish, Dilma also Adam the Amri Kirika Amra. Maybe ultimately Adam will say, you know what she said was true. She had a child. And then the Baal passed away, and then the child passed away. And therefore she did not fall the Yibam. And you were Machmir and said, well, do a chalitza to be in the same side. To be in the safe side. The Nimtza Ata Matzricha Kruz the Kohuna. What's gonna happen is now that if she's gonna want to marry a Kohen, nobody, none of the Kahanim are going to want to get close to her because they're going to say, you're a chalutza. I'm not a chalutza. That whole chalitza was only done as a chumrah. But afterwards, Adam came and verified what I said, that my husband passed away, and then my son passed away, and therefore I didn't fall the yibam. That whole chalitza was a meaningless chalitza. So, why don't you say the same story? It's a matzricha kruz the kahuna. Amra Popar, we should talk about a case of a grusha, meaning before she married this husband, she had already been married to another husband. This was a zivuk sheni, and therefore, anyway, she is asur the kohuna. So it doesn't leimalav leimayir if we give her another chalitza. She'll have a chalitza. So you're going to tell me that the chalitza might be a meaningless chalitza? So it'll be meaningless. Anyway, she can't marry a kohen because she's a grusha. Or the second hechatibs are pchi b'rei rafuna amar, but amra nivahu nechbeinu b'ma'ara. It's talking about a situation that we too, it was quite a war situation or whatever, and therefore we were both living together in a mara, nobody else in a cave, nobody saw us, nobody knew about us, zero. There in the cave, Baruch Hashem, we had a child, but unfortunately it was unsanitary in the cave. The husband passed away, and the ben passed away. So now you're saying, yeah, well, maybe Adam are going to go and say, Kirik Amra, I'm not worried. They were the only ones on the face of the earth, just like Lot and his two daughters. Nobody else was around. So you look right before the Mishnah down below, see the second and third wide line. Ani, Ubani, Ubali, Nechbeinu, Nechbanu, Bima'ara, we were hiding there in this cave. Vein Ishimanu, Lovu, Lahoyt. There was no possibility of, we didn't see human life for a year whilst we were hiding in the cave. You don't have to worry about the Eidim might come. So that's why we allow her to have Chalitza. And I'm not worried about Nimtzat Matricha Kruz Likahuna. Okay, Zuk the Mishnah Bite. Naya Mishnah Shte Yevom Zuay Meres Meis Bali Zuay Meres Meis Bali. You have two Yevomas. Now what are two Yevomas? There's Rashi, Nishay Shnei Achim. There were two brothers, Reuben and Shimon. Reuben and Shimon both had wives. Wives were not achoyes, they were strangers. Reuven's wife and Shimon's wife. And Reuven and Shimon both went on a vacation together with their wives. The two couples together, it's very, very nice, well, that's wonderful. And now the two women come back and we say, what happened to your husbands? Zuay meres meis bali, the zuay meres meis bali. Mrs. Reuven says Reuven passed away. Mrs. Shimon says Shimon passed away. Very tragic. But that's what they say. Okay, so what happens now? Now we've learned two halachos, which are on the surface very, very easy, but here they have a bit of a clash, a bit of a conflict. One halacha that we learned is that anytime a woman comes back from Medina Sayyam and says, my husband passed away, if a sholem beinoi lebeinah and sholem ba'oilam, there's no reason why we should assume that she is telling a lie. we believe her, and therefore she's allowed to go and either be miyabim or to remarry Lishok, depending on what your yochum and Lishok. So therefore, this lady that says Meis Bali, we believe her, and therefore she's allowed to marry. On the other hand, the other woman says also Meis Bali, that my husband passed away. So what happens now? We're assuming that there were only two brothers altogether. There were no five brothers, just two. And therefore, one woman is saying that my husband passed away, Mrs. Reuven. Mrs. Shimon says that my husband passed away. Who would Mrs. Reuven normally fall to Yibam? It would be to Shimon. But Mrs. Shimon says my husband passed away. So therefore, I don't fall to Yibam. One second. Remember that Mrs. Shimon is one of the five ladies that we enumerated in the Mishnah that is not believed. One of the five is Yevimta. What's my Yevimta? Yevimta means the future tzara that were her husband to pass away. This young lady would go and fully Yibam to the Yavam. The Yavam is already married to a lady. That lady is the potential tzara of the first lady, and that's called Yevimta. That was one of the five that we had in the Mishnah. If you want to just check on it in case you're not sure, back on the Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Kuf Yud Zayin, we have the Mishnah HaKol Emon Lo Ha'ida. Five people are not believed. Chamoise Bas Chamoise Tzorafse. The Yevemta. What's meant Yevemta? That was the first Rashi there in the Mishnah. Yevemta, Eishes Yevamah, the wife of her potential Yavam that she may get married to. Ah, so I have over here a very strange situation. Mrs. Reuven is believed about herself that Reuven passed away. Mrs. Shimon is believed about herself that Shimon passed away. However, Mrs. Reuven cannot go and marry Lishuk because she cannot rely on Mrs. Shimon's testimony, because Mrs. Shimon might be saying that her husband passed away because she doesn't want Mrs. Reuven to go and become her tzara. That's one of the five women that we cannot believe. And the same thing is vice versa. We cannot go and allow Mrs. Shimon to go and marry Lishuk based on what Mrs. Reuven said, because Mrs. Reuven hates Mrs. Shimon, or potentially, and she is concerned that if and when Reuven passes away, or Shimon passes away, that the two are going to become tzaras of one another. So the fact that Mrs. Reuven said her husband passed away, maybe it's a fib, maybe her husband is alive, but she doesn't want Mrs. Shimon to come over and become her tzara.
But Mrs. Shimon is not being made about Reuven, she's being made about her own husband.
Absolutely.
So the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Zayin is talking about...
We're worried about any type of mekalkelis, that the woman is trying to calculate.
Calculation, okay. Yeah. Right.
So you have shtei yivam zu oimeres meis bali, zu oimeres meis bali, zu asur mnei balishol zu, zu asur mnei balishol zu. Neither of them can go and remarry Lishuk. Each one of them still has a zika of yibam. We believe each one to say that their husband passed away. We only believe their husband passed away vis-a-vis that husband and wife. But we don't believe it vis-a-vis the Yavama, the potential Yavama that would fall to him, because the whole knowledge that we have of Mrs. Shimon passing away is from, that Mr. Shimon passed away is from Mrs. Shimon, and Mrs. Shimon says that her husband passed away because she doesn't want Mrs. Reuven to become her tzara. Therefore, they cannot go and marry the Shuk, because there may be still a Zika to you. On the other hand, you can't have Yibam because there's no brother around to go be Miyabim.
So if there were a brother to be Miyabim, then it would...
That's going to be the final case in the Mishnah. The Zokta Mishnah, Neshabal Zu, Osum Yom Lezu. Now what happens, Lezu, Edom, Lezu, Ein Edom? What happens, Mrs. Reuven, not only is it her say-so that Reuven passed away, she actually has real live Edom too. Edom comes and says, yes, we saw Reuven, we saw him buried. We were in the cemetery, and we saw the Hespin and the Levaya, and they buried him. She has Edom. Mrs. Shimon has no Edom. So now what's the conclusion? Es sheyeshla Edom asura. The one that has the Edom, it's somewhat ironic. She has Edom on her side that her husband passed away. Asura, but she cannot go and marry anybody. She cannot go and marry anybody outside there because maybe she still has a Yavam. She can't go marry the Yavam because there's no Yavam on the scene. I don't know where the Yavam is. The Es She'ein Lo Edom, the Mrs. Shimon who has no Edom, Muteris, she's allowed to go and marry out Lishuk. Why? We believe her about the fact that her husband died because an Isha Nemet is on her own husband. What about she falls the Yibam? I'm not relying on what Mrs. Reuven said about Reuven. I'm relying on Mrs. Reuven's two Edom that said that Reuven passed away. So therefore, since they said he passed away, I have no Yavam, she's Mutaris Hashuk. So it's ironic that the one that has more of the weapons in her arsenal, she has more evidence, the one that has Edom, Nebuch is Asir, the one that has no Edom, she's Mutar. Now you have the first, reverse case, Lizu Banim Ulizu Ein Banim. So again, these two husbands went Lamdina Siyam together with the two wives. The two wives come back. Mrs. Reuven said Reuven passed away. Mr. Shimon said that Shimon passed away. But one of them, let's say Mrs. Reuven had children, or Reuven had children from another husband, whatever. Ulizu Ein Banim, and Shimon did not have any children. So as Sheyesh La Banim Muteris, the one that has children, of course, is Mutter, because she says, I'm not a Yevama. The only time of the Yibam is Evuven Ein Lai, Abba Baruch Hashem, here's Ben Yesh Lai. So she's Mutter. The Eish Ein La Banim, the one that has no children, she'll be Asura, because she has to wait for a Yavam. Mrs. Reuven says that my husband passed away. Mrs. Shimon cannot rely on that. So, the one that has Banim is Mutter, the Ein La Banim is Asura. Now, the Siyabmu, what happens if the Nisiyabim? We just said in the Mishnah, they cannot be Misiyabim. So Rashi says the Misiyabim to another two Yavamim. In other words, there were two other brothers besides, there were four brothers altogether. Sounds like the Haggadah. But here, Echad Chacham, Echad Chacham, Echad Chacham, Echad Chacham, Bokshim, Alech Chacham. So Reuven, Shimon, Taka went away, but Levi Yehuda are back here. Now we heard about the two women that the two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, passed away. So then, Levi and Yehuda, one was Miyabim one, and one was Miyabim the other. Is there any problem in doing that? There's no problem, because each one is believed that their husband passed away. It's true that Reuven cannot rely on Mrs. Shimon's testimony about Shimon, but I'm not marrying Shimon. I'm not, in fact, Shimon may be dead, I can't marry him. But I'm marrying Levi Yehuda, and Mrs. Shimon is not talking about Levi Yehuda. So my marriage, my Yibam to Levi Yehuda, is not affected by what Mrs. Shimon says, so therefore, Mrs. Reuven can go and marry Levi. Similarly, Mrs. Shimon can go and marry Yehuda. That's fine, the Siyabim. But what happens for Mesa HaYevamin? What happens ultimately, Levi and Yehuda Nebuch passed away. And now we have these two ladies, and they basically go back to square one. Says the Tanakhama, Surah Linase. Then it becomes like the first case in the Mishnah. If they want to go marry out Lishuk, I can't marry out Lishuk, because maybe Shimon is still around. What do you mean Shimon's still around? Mr. Shimon says that he's dead. I can't rely on Mr. Shimon. Same thing is for Shimon, for Mrs. Shimon. She cannot go marry Lishuk because maybe Reuven's still around. Mrs. Reuven said he's dead. Can't rely on that. That's one of the five Noshim that you can't rely on. So therefore, Susan, in other words, we go back to square one like the beginning of the Mishnah. Reb Loza Oimer, Hoyu v'chutru li'yavamin. Since in the interim they've already married Yavamin, meaning Levi and Yehuda, chutru l'chalodim, now the old halacha no longer applies. That's history, if you will. And now they're mutter to go and marry anybody else post Yavamin.
They actually married Yavamin, or they were just in a state of
being... Yavamin.
Yeah,
okay. The Gemara now takes together two of the cases in the Mishnah. Tana, lezu edim ubanim, ulezu loy edim v'loy banim. You have Reuven and Shimon, and Mrs. Reuven and Mrs. Shimon. Mrs. Reuven has edim that her husband passed away, and she also has, Baruch Hashem, children. On the other hand, Mrs. Shimon does not have edim, and she doesn't have banim. Shtein mutaris. Both of them are allowed to go and remarry. Why are they both allowed to go and remarry? The one that has banim, of course, is allowed to remarry. She doesn't fall yibam. So that's a davar pashut. As far as the other lady that had no children, but she also didn't have edim, she doesn't need edim. We believe her that, again, assuming this is Mrs. Shimon, fine, we believe her that Shimon passed away. She falls the yibam to Reuven. Guess what?
Mrs. Reuven's edim.
Mrs. Reuven has edim that her husband passed away. So therefore, both of them are now off the hook. Reuven is off the hook. Mrs. Reuven off the hook because of Baruch Hashem Banim. And Mrs. Shimon is off the hook because Mrs. Reuven, Baruch Hashem, had Edom that Reuven passed away, and therefore she doesn't fall lead. At this point, the princes of the Gemara made a mistake. They should put in two dots, because the next shtickle, Nisyamu, Vomesa, Yevamin, Asur, Linos, Rav Loza, Oima, Hoyu, Vahutu, Yevamin, Hutu, L'chaladim, that's just a direct quote from the last three lines of the Mishnah. And on that, Boyerov, my time in Rav Loza. Since that, it becomes a fairly extensive discussion. Mitchell, we'll leave that for tomorrow.
Wow.
Boy. Tomorrow at the normal time, more or less a quarter to...
Let's see, one second.